death punch.
If you'll pardon the expression.
I'm sorry?
If you'll pardon the expression.
What is that supposed to mean, if you'll pardon?
Don't worry about it. Dickman's trying to cause trouble again.
Doesn't mean anything.
Five finger, if you'll pardon it. Oh, my God, you're talking about someone probing.
Wait a minute. Didn't mean it.
About someone probing between my thighs with their... You filthy...
Wait.
I spoke to God today, and she said that she's ashamed.
I approve of that lyric.
What have I become? What have I done?
I spoke to God today, and she... What
I
is
spoke
that?
To the devil today, and he swears...
Oh, the devil is a he, and God is a she.
And I understood, cause I feel the same.
Side of heaven and the righteous side of hell. So that means on the righteous side of hell, the devil is a he, and on the wrong side of heaven, God is a she. Oh, is he in fucking trouble?
Oh my God, I had, and by the way, the F word, Phil, in speaking of the hereafter, is so out of bounds.
From God today.
I think you're trying gargling with something. And if you'll pardon the expression.
All right, welcome to our program, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our podcast back live and local and groovy and, well, it ain't local, man. It ain't never going to be local. But they do say that all news is local, whatever that means. Anyway, welcome to our podcast. Phil Henry here with Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, General Galen Shaw. Later on in the program, we're going to be talking... who are we talking to? I think we're going to be talking to whoever our sports expert is, man. Who is the sports expert?
I think we're talking to Brad Rifkin, because he came in from Vegas for the game, you know that?
Oh, Brad Rifkin?
Yes, Brad came in from Las Vegas for the 49er game.
All right, so Brad Rifkin's going to be with us to talk about the new San Francisco 49er stadium, which he says is a beautiful thing. And there was an article about the 49er stadium that said there was a, quote, catch, you know, a catch, meaning it was a wonderful experience except for one or two things. We'll talk about what those one or two things might be. You know, everybody's got a bitch. Let's see, one other thing here, the Ferguson thing, I don't want to get into that, man, because it's like, you know...
It's very, very tragic, Phil, but I think your observations are worthy...
That was Miss Aaron. I don't want to get on a racial thing.
You gotta get it. It is racial.
Hold on. I'm not turning this into a. I'm not turning that into a comedy bit. I can guarantee you that much. No, there was one other thing that we wanted to talk about. Oh yeah, Facebook unveiling its satire tag, and they're doing that basically because there's too many dumbasses. Not so much that there's too many dumbasses. That's not. I have to say, there's too many people that don't know what satire is. And so they are just simply saying things as if they are factual, and they're calling it satire. For instance, people might say that a guy died. You know, so-and-so died. No, he didn't. I'm just being satirical. Oh, that's very funny. Not. Or they might say that, incoming missiles from China. It's just a satire. Why are you taking it seriously? See, when you get amateurs involved in the game of... When you get an amateur involved in a field that's not familiar with ordinarily, but you got Facebook sitting there, so that means that, for instance, if I was on a Facebook page devoted to NASA or to math or to archaeology or to anthropology... And I've done this. I've actually done this. I went on a page once, and this was years ago.
Wait. Hold on for just a minute. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, it's getting kind of complicated.
Phil, no, it's not getting... Phil is talking about the art of satire, or satire. Do you understand?
Margaret, look, you want to get into all of this mumbo-jumbo.
No, this is not mumbo-jumbo. This is absolute science.
No, it's not science, but it's a discipline.
Yeah, that's something that people know about.
Yeah, so why don't you sit and listen?
Wait a minute, I don't understand. I demand to understand what it is this guy's talking about.
And what if... Never mind, go ahead.
All I'm saying, General, I'm talking about satire. Okay?
Well, what's that?
Well, that's the question that a lot of people should be asking. What's that?
Dick, pretending like something is, but it ain't.
No, it ain't pretending like something is, but it ain't. Satire is like humor with a point of view, as has often been pointed out. Satire is the taking something to an absurd length to make a greater point about something. The greatest satirical, in many people's minds...
Is this the Jonathan... Yes, the Jonathan Swift. Thank you, Phil. I'll take it from here. You see, Jonathan Swift, it was...
I'll do it. Thank you very much.
Good God.
God, Mr. Harry's... Mr. Harry's the show.
I understand...
Margaret, why don't you go ahead and get that coffee that you...
Yes, I'm brewing it now.
Go ahead and get that. Oh, God. All right. The greatest satirical essay supposedly ever written was written by Jonathan Swift, and it was a satirical essay that he wrote on the state of poverty in Great Britain, in the United Kingdom. And he said, he basically said in this essay, you know, if you're hungry... You can always eat your children. They're very tasty, and with the right seasoning, it's fantastic, okay? Now, this was a piece of satire that is state-of-the-art. It takes a horrible situation, a real situation, shall we say, and comments on it by using an absurd or extreme example in a humorous way. And I think that's very funny, telling people to eat their children. I personally think it's very funny, especially when you put in the seasoning and the recipe and how many pounds of meal should you bread them in and all that stuff. It's gruesome, yes, but it's also extremely absurd, and, you know, nobody's bound to believe it, okay? Don't tell me, bud, that people will believe it.
Well, I mean, come on. No, nobody's going to believe that, man.
Dick, but are you trying to tell me that people are going to believe that bullshit?
What's going on?
Never mind, Margaret.
Well, something interesting is happening while I'm making the coffee.
You just keep making the coffee.
God damn.
So, Bud, no one's going to believe that. Only you would believe it.
Yeah, there you go, Dickman. You'd believe that.
Well, I mean, if a guy's going to write it.
You're the perfect Facebook user, Bud. You believe all that bullshit. You put that shit on Facebook, someone's bound to believe it. That's why you got to have a satire tag for a lot of those people. However... Since a lot of people on Facebook are attempting satire and wouldn't know satire if it came up and, licked
their butt.
Okay, their butt.
What did he say?
Never mind. Then they go out and they misuse they misuse what they think is satire. So they'll, for instance, say that someone did eat their child. And seasoned the child. Maybe they think that that's something no one would believe, but in today's society, it's very easy to believe that someone probably tried to eat their kid. We got so many fucking weird people, excuse my French.
You know, you said excuse my French in Canada. What'd they say?
Yeah, when I was in Canada, I said excuse my French. A couple people said, oh, don't worry, I speak French.
What does that mean?
Would you just make the coffee?
Yeah, make the coffee and then shut up.
Why, you
Hey! Get off of him, will you?
Talk to me like that.
So, and some people may say to you, well, I mean, in today's society, it might be believable that a guy would say to go ahead and eat your children and write an essay and put it in a magazine and the magazine would publish it. Yeah, the magazine would publish it. A satire magazine. Or a magazine that is attempting satire. At some point, even if the guy was serious... Let's say a guy wrote an article that recommended we eat our children to alleviate the hunger problem in America. Let's say he was serious. It's still pretty good satire. Unintentional. The guy's being serious, but in point of fact, it is a marvelous piece of satire. Because no sane person's going to do that. So we still have the same effect. Whether the guy's serious or not, the same effect. Reasonable people look at that and they think, well, that's a very funny way of putting into sharp relief the hunger problem. Well, that's satire. On Facebook, however, because you've got so many amateurs and dimwits, you know, and here it is. Facebook unveils satire tag. Where does this leave Fox News? See, that's satire. On Facebook, however, you got a lot of people who are attempting satire or think they're, you know, actually writing something satirical, and they're not, you know. And it's confusing a lot of people. That's on the one extreme. On the other extreme, you have people that are just too fucking stupid to know what satire is. They believe everything. Hence the success of our radio show when we were doing the phone calls. And by the way, folks, if ever you needed another example of why it is, really, the phone call era of the Phil Hendry Show when it comes to this sort of thing is not a likely a thing to return, because people have Facebook and they have Twitter and they have these other areas where they can, you know, vent. And because radio has no real, you know...
Now, Phil, watch what you say about the radio world.
Oh, I'm not going to watch what I say about the... What is it with you? I'm not watching the what I say about the radio world.
Well, she's talking about the you know, getting into a fight with him.
What do I care, man? I was in Chicago last... was it last weekend? Yeah, a week ago, this weekend, a week ago, 2 weekends ago, whatever you want to call it. And we were there for the Don Anthony Morning Show Boot Camp. I was there from Friday through Sunday. And I got up in front of these, and I was there at the invitation of Tory Ryder, who's a friend of mine, a longstanding broadcast professional and veteran. And Tory and I were talking about finding the funny. And I said, well, what if I get into, you know, and I know, Margaret, you warned me.
I told you not to. What did you do?
Mr. Hendry can say what he wants.
Mr. Hendry can say what he wants is right, but, you know, and I did. However, there's going to be some blowback, bud, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah, see, that, I know you don't want me doing the Phil Foss.
You're making a note of that?
Yes, I am, if you don't mind.
And so, you know, I was there and I said, well, to Tori, I said, well, what if it happens that I start to bag on the industry just, she says, go ahead, you know, whatever. But I did tell the young people that were there, the morning show people that were there, I said, before you put any effort into your show, and before you put any kind of real creative effort into your show, I said, could I see a show of hands? Remember I told you? I would ask this question. I did. Could I see a show of hands? Are there any programmers here? Not one hand. Are there any CEOs here? Not one hand. So the people that control the programming and the content don't give a shit about programming and content. They're not at a seminar for content. They're not there. And it was, by the way, the room was full, okay? Just so you know, the room was full. There might even have been some standing room. Every goddamn table, excuse my language.
Excuse your French.
Yes, excuse my French, was full. So don't tell me that it was, you know, lightly attended or anything else. Maybe you couldn't get in. Well, maybe you guys should have got out of bed early, nursed your hangover, and got down there sooner.
Well, see, that's the kind of thing that's going to get you in trouble.
All right, well, David G. Hall is going to join us here in a moment. On the Phil Hendry Show, I'm sure, with an opinion on that. Let's go to Bob Bacon. Bob Bacon with traffic. Bob, what's up?
Well, I'm out in the downtown areas. I'm looking around here, looking at all the midges of the people I've got. I got to tell you something right now, Phil, looking really good with a big of the buys. This is Bob Bacon with traffic.
This is General Kalen Shaw. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Margaret Gray here for Sassner's Cleaning. When you take your husband's shirts, when you take your husband's jackets, his suits, his underwear, anything in to get it cleaned, Sassner's will clean it or burn it. That's their guarantee for you.
That's right, everybody. This is Bud Dickman. Might take you and Mr. Henry's cleaning to Sassner's Cleaning, and sometimes they say, no way, no way, no way, no way. They throw it into a furnace. That's right, Sassner's Cleaning will clean it or burn it.
Sassner's Cleaning, located on Don Boulevard in Keong, Southern California. What is this? Oh, for God's sake, this is a map of South Korea.
Sassner's Cleaning. They'll clean it or burn it.
What happened there, man? Don't touch that master, whatever you do, man.
Don't master what?
Don't touch that master. Don't worry about it. David G. Hall joining us here on the Phil Hendry Show this morning, having breakfast over there at the market in South Pasadena. David, you heard what my comments were there regarding the morning show boot camp. What did you want to say?
What I wanted to say was that was last week. Why don't you talk about Canada?
David, he has a right.
Hold on, Margaret. Why don't you talk about last week you were taking a piss out of the guys, which is, by the way, a Canadian term, taking a piss out of. You know what that means?
Yeah, means making fun of a guy.
I'm not asking you, Dick, but I'm asking Phil.
Yeah, I know what it means.
All right, why aren't you taking a piss out of the Canadians? What are you all over the guys in radio? You did that last week. And we're moving on, aren't we?
No, we're not moving on. No, not at all. No, it just so happens that I didn't have this particular part of the conference covered, and I wanted to say something about it here.
You want to humiliate the thousands of broadcast professionals. By the way, I'm hungover, so, you know. Hold on, Phil.
You're hungover. That makes sense.
Don't take me. I'm not a broadcast. I'm not a member of management anymore. What do you want, honey? Okay, go get goddammit.
Is she getting donuts again?
You know, Margaret, that's none of your business. Go on. What?
Well, it's taking time away for this call.
From the what? She's getting Krispy Kreme. Is that against the law?
It's not against the law. It's every time we talk to you, you got the girlfriend there.
She's my fiance. I'll have you know, my girlfriend. I don't care, honey. There's a Dunkin' Donut. What we're talking about here, Phil, is you having respect for the broadcast business and quit kicking us square in the nuts. That's all I'm asking.
David.
Quit kicking us square in the nuts.
You know, it's a reasonable request, Phil. Every day it seems like you take the broadcast industry, you push it up against a wall, spread its legs, and just go after its balls with your steel-toed Czech Nazi gut.
Yeah, it's like Romper Stomper. You come in with those big steel-toed boots, a skinned head, a swastika on your arm, and the broadcast business is some poor immigrant cab driver, and you...
All right, thank you very much.
Oh, well, Phil, that was not a very bad, it wasn't a very good, but it wasn't a very bad...
Yeah, pretty good comparison, Mr. Henry.
No, it was not a good comparison. No, it wasn't. I'm a Nazi with a steel-toed boot, and the broadcast business is an immigrant cab driver.
Well, Phil, in many ways, you just push the broadcast business...
Yeah, push it up against the wall, Mr. Henry, and go after it nutsack.
Yeah, with a steel-toed boot.
Bullshit. There. Is that enough for you guys?
Well, could you be a little clearer? I'm kidding.
All right. So anyway, Facebook with this new... Thanks a lot, David, for nothing. Facebook with their new satire tag. So that is going to be something else that we'll talk about. But first of all, I do want to get into our trip to Canada. And boy, I'll tell you, I had a blast, man. Just had a blast. Went up there with Lauren. And the two of us, we stayed in Yorkville, which is the center of Toronto. That's the old town Toronto. But my family now lives outside of town. My cousin Fran lives in a town called Dundas. My cousin Paul, who everybody calls Hank.
Now, you got to explain. Is this guy on the lam from the police or something?
No, he's not. I don't know. Somewhere along the line, he picked up the name Hank. His name is Paul, but they call him Hank. Hank lives out in Port Ryerson, which is on Lake Erie.
Now, you're saying, Mr. Henry, if I can be clear for just a moment.
Oh, bud, quit pretending like you're conducting a college class.
I don't want to get... Is Lake Erie... What is that?
What's what?
What do you mean, what's Lake Erie, man?
Go on, what's Lake Erie? Is that a lake? Well, I mean, I know it's a lake, yeah, but what is it?
It's a... What do you mean, what is it?
I think is it one of the Great Lakes? The answer is yes.
Yeah. Is it one of the Great Lakes? Well, I guess the answer is yes.
Yes, it's one of the Great Lakes.
I know, because the general just told me.
Fine.
Well, Phil, he just wanted to know.
It's one of the Great Lakes, though.
Yes.
I already told you yes.
Okay. So it's one of the Great Lakes. Lake Ontario is one of the Great Lakes. Now, you go down...
Well, what are you talking about the Great Lake?
Oh, I'm going to start to lose it.
Would you knuckleheads look at a map or something? Get your noses out of that McDonald's bag.
Well,
get your noses out of that McDonald's bag long enough to go look it up.
What are you guys having, anyway?
You got the Egg McMuffin there, right?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, I got a Sausage McMuffin, you lying sack. You told me...
Will you guys knock it off with the McDonald's? Go figure it out outside someplace.
Well, I'm supposed to get the egg.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Here. Take that.
Sorry, this yours?
Yes, that's mine. I get the Egg McMuffin. You can eat that pig slop. I don't eat that. I don't eat slop.
No, you eat McDonald's.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
Well, the Egg McMuffin is a higher quality than Sausage McMuff.
Yeah, we ain't all a McMuff.
Just when we're talking the McMuff... I'm sorry, I shouldn't say McMuff. I know it sounds dirty.
Yeah, but on the McMuff scale.
What's wrong?
What's wrong is I'm not doing a show anymore. I'm reviewing McDonald's as you guys eat your breakfast.
Sorry.
Sorry.
So, did you get your Egg McMuffin?
Yes, it's very good.
Great. So, anyway, you go down to Lake Ontario, and then you hang a right, and you're on your way out there to Port Ryerson. That's where my cousin Paul lived, and we had a blast over there. We sat, I mean, this is kind of just an old neighborhoody thing, but what a beautiful town.
Now, you said this was like living at Lake Arrowhead or something.
Yeah, it's beautiful. There's a beautiful lake there, Lake Erie, and the little village itself is like something from the mountains, you know, only it's kind of in the flatlands. The other thing about traveling through Ontario, the province of Ontario, Canada, in that area, it's down near Hamilton. Anybody know? Hamilton is the steel town of Canada, or was, and it's south of Toronto by about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And I don't know, it's like San Diego to L.A. It's a smaller city. It has its own identity. It's smaller than Toronto, but nonetheless has a bit of a rivalry with Toronto, especially in football, because they have two, they have their football team down there, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, which I guess now I got to get into the history of that.
Yeah, what does that mean, Tiger Cat?
Yeah, you're gonna have to take another 15 minutes to explain that.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Thank you.
Well, what does that mean, Tiger Cat?
It means that there were two teams once, the Tigers and the Wildcats. They put them together and made up the Tie Cats.
Jesus! I'm saying you want to explain, you didn't have to.
Wow. Yeah, Phil, you're a little wound tight.
Yeah. Okay, well, so anyway...
Wow.
Take it easy and have your freaking...
No, I'm not saying you, but this hash brown, look at the size of that.
Why do you got a bigger hash brown than me?
I'm going to lose it. I'm going to leave this show to you guys and walk out of here if you don't knock it off.
Sorry, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So,
Hamilton, you're talking about Hamilton.
Yeah, Hamilton, Ontario. So you go down there, and that's where he doesn't live there. He lives in Port Ryerson, which is off to the west. And it's kind of a cool thing. And actually, Fran, my cousin Fran, she lives in Dundas, which is kind of a suburb of Hamilton. The guy she married... is a former steel worker. He was in the steel industry, and so that's where he grew up, that's where he lived, and that's the business that he was in. But man, I'll tell you, this Port Ryerson is beautiful. The thing about Port Ryerson that I found out was, at one time, there was something called the United Empire Loyalists. You know, anybody know what that was?
Well, you were talking about it before the show.
Yeah, do you want us to pretend like we don't know or that we do?
Well, okay, yes, I did tell you before the show.
Yeah, these were the people that came north from England, and they settled in Canada, right?
Not England.
I mean the United States.
Right, right. These were British loyalists who settled in Canada after the Revolution. They didn't want to be in America. They were loyal to the king, and they were driven from their homes. I mean, it was kind of a sad chapter, probably not viewed that way in American history, probably looked upon more as an instance of disloyalty to the new American Republic. But I think you could see it their way, sort of.
Well, I guess we all have our loyalties.
Yeah, but you're not going to be loyal to a flag and everything?
Yeah, that's very interesting, but nonetheless, one can see their allegiance.
Yeah, well, they had an allegiance to the king, and they didn't get this new American country, and they didn't want to be a part of it. They thought it was disloyal to the king, and it was everything they didn't want. They were not people that were going to desert king and country. So they, what are you looking at, bud?
What do you mean, desert?
Dessert as in leave, not pie and a la mode, okay?
All right.
So they split and went to Canada. Now, they were granted some plots of land up there, and among those plots of land was this little area called Port Ryerson, and it was named after a Colonel Ryerson or a General Ryerson, I forget his name. And when you go into Port Ryerson, you see a little sign there, the former home to United Empire Loyalists, people that settled here, and founded their new homes. And you know, like I say, as much as I love America, I love my country, I can understand it was a brand new thing. You've got a family, you have a wife, you've got kids. You know, what are you really going to hang around for this goofy, crazy new thing that...
Well, it's Articles of Confederation. No, wait a minute, it's the Constitution. I don't know. Well, we'll see. There's a state, and
It was very, you know, it was a very tenuous time, I guess. And... for some people, it wasn't secure enough. So up there they went. I'll tell you, very, very beautiful area. I don't know how many of the people that live there are actually from way, way back, but the buildings, you know.
How old is this area?
Well, I mean, it goes all the way back to the American Revolution, but we went to a cemetery they had there in the town, and the graves there are 1845. It's like just living in this really historic place. It's amazing to see all of the historic things that they had there. And I was super... What is it? Spacewalking astronauts release baby satellite.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I thought you wanted to have something about the family.
You're a real moron. You know that when he said family, he meant real human whole baby.
Are you telling me you thought a baby satellite was part of the American...
But I'm talking, when I say family, I mean humans, not a baby satellite. That's a term that they're using for something that's electric or that's, you know...
Well, how do you know it's electric?
It could be sonar. Earth.
I'm talking about humans, not space-age shit. Excuse my language. So, let's read that anyway. It looks kind of interesting.
Yeah, see?
Well, he only...
I'll read it. Don't worry. So, that was one of the many trips we took there in the grand, Canadian trip. We went out to Fran and Jim's place, and she's got this downstairs... kind of a downstairs bedroom and a living room. It's kind of a what do they call it back east? The basement room?
Well, yes, many homes back east have that subterranean room.
Yeah, and they really did theirs up nice. I mean, they got a beautiful fireplace and a bathroom and a bedroom. It's really nice. So we were given that. Lauren and I were given that, and we took Fran at her word. She said, make yourself at home. Well, that's what we did. So we stayed up till 3 a.m. We're watching TV. We're mixing drinks. We're going upstairs and raiding the icebox, and I'm afraid that we were not...
Well, what do you mean, raid the icebox?
Well, I mean, she had made these little tarts, these pecan tarts that were freaking delicious. I must have eaten half of them.
Never mind. I won't go into how much you weigh.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, but it did say...
Don't worry about it. It's the summer, you know. We'll get back to where we got to get back to. So, yeah, it was. So we were down there, raided the icebox, did all that bull crap. Like I said, we stayed in town. And then we went out to the Balmy Beach Club on Saturday. Now, this beach club is a place where... This is a section of Toronto where the Henry family's from. We come from a place called The Beach. Some of the people out there call it The Beaches. But I guess the old-timers call it the beach, so I don't know, you know, whatever you want to call it. My family calls it the beach, and they're from there, and they go back at least to the 20s, if not before, and their residence there in the beach area. So, and my dad went to school there, my mom, my aunt, my uncle, and my cousins. Down at the shoreline off of Queen Street, which is the main avenue through the beach there, and it goes all the way, Queen Street goes all the way into Toronto, is the Balmy Beach Club. It's right there on B-A-L-M-Y.
Well, now, balmy doesn't mean... In the old days, balmy used to mean that you're a little bit dim-witted. That has nothing to do with it. Right?
No, Margaret. It doesn't mean there's nothing but dimwits down there.
Well, Philly, you know, they you know...
Yes, I know, General. He doesn't like me asking these questions.
Yeah, but sure, it's pretty important.
Well, wait a minute. You're trying to say about it balmy down there.
No people are balmy down there. It means balmy something else. You know, balmy also means very nice weather. It's temperate. It's comfortable.
Yes, I know that, but I don't know, Phil. What is the origin of the name?
I didn't look it up, so there you can... Chalk that one up. Yeah, everybody's a dimwit down there. So, Balmy Beach, we went down to Balmy Beach, to the beach club there, and had a blast. I mean, we went and we essentially had lunch, you know. We then had a bunch of cocktails, man. We had some Long Island iced teas and kind of took a tour of the place. What I was looking for were football pictures of my pops, you know.
Now, your father played... Now, this is very interesting to me.
Oh, is this about sports, Phil?
Yes. It's not about sports, it's about the history of the club.
See, this is interesting. You're trying to tell me that
Call it Balmy Beach Club.
The Balmy Beach Club... They went out and they won the championship of the Canada. I'm going to get it, Phil.
Canada.
Hold on for a minute. They won the championship of the Canadian Football League.
It wasn't really the Canadian Football League in those days. It was called the Grey Cup.
Yeah, the Grey Cup is the game.
I know that, but what was the league?
They had a bunch of leagues. They had the Western Football Rugby Conference. They had the... and don't ask me what... It was rugby football. Don't ask me what it is, but it's Canadian football is what they called it those days. Rugby football. And they had the Ontario, all these clubs. And these cats played for the Grey Cup. And they won the Grey Cup in the 30s a couple of times. They won it in the 20s. They even won one of them, I think, in the 40s, if I'm not mistaken. So,
and this was the club that your father played for?
My dad didn't play for any Grey Cup winners. He just played for the team during the 20s, I think. Or no, during the 30s. He played for the team during the 30s. And so, you know, he would, you know, go out there and play football and all that bull crap. So that was that. And so we were looking for pictures of that, and I couldn't find it. We went up and down the hallway there that they had all that stuff.
Well, they got pictures of the teams.
They have pictures of the football teams. Those had pictures of the canoe. And my whole family, the Canadian end of the Henry family, was on the rugby team. They played, they were on the rowing team. They were on the canoeing team.
Oh, what's a canoeing team?
Well, it's a canoe, you know.
Well, what's the difference when you say rowing and canoeing?
Rowing is when you've got, you're holding.
Oh, I know what it's like. They're pulling both paddle. Yeah, well, you better not say that.
Say what?
You talked about a paddle.
Will you knock it off with the paddle?
Well, it is, Phil.
No, it's nothing. You guys really are pissing me off with that. You talk about the paddle.
Well, which is the difference between the rowing and the canoe?
The rowing is when you got two paddles, okay, there. You want to get shocked and scandalized? And it's two oars. That's what it is. Two oars.
Well, let's see.
Yeah, but son, how do you spell on that?
O-A-R.
Jeez, did you get a load of him? O-A-R. Phil, we understand.
No, you don't understand. I got this guy over here looking at me like it's spelled W-H-O-R-E.
Well, you said he's got a hold of two of them.
Yeah, in each. So there's the oars and then there's the paddle. I guess that's filthy any way you look at it.
Phil, it's your family's misfortune to be involved in a sport that dances with filth. I didn't say that it's completely involved or immersed in it.
Yes, that's a very good way of putting it. The family, Phil, unfortunately danced with filth in the sports that they chose.
I see. All right. So when they were rowing, they were using oars. Oops, that could be whore. And when they were canoeing, they were using paddles. Well, look out. That might mean paddling the pumpkin or spanking your dummy or jerking off.
Yay!
Thank you. We'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Here's Lecrae and Nuttin'. We'll be right back.
Here we go. We have a commercial here?
No, we don't. We're going to listen to some music because it's bugging me, man. You're bugging me.
We need something more. This is Robin Leonard. Mr. Henry's talking about paddling. He's talking about canoeing. When he's talking about oar, he means O-A-R, not W-H-O-R-E. Man, you got a mind that dances. I mean, it's doing a... Your mind is doing a twist with filth, man.
Feet, it's doing a twist. Oh, you're saying it's dancing with filth.
Yeah, it's doing a twist, doing a running man.
His mind is doing the cabbage patch with filth. A little money, now you are
low. General Galen Shaw here for the cardboard hats of Southern California. If you're a pope or a bishop or any member of the clergy that has a very high and elevated position in any religion and you need a freshly minted cardboard hat, not freshly minted, but at least freshly cut out cardboard hat to put on your head and look official, come to the cardboard hats of Southern California. We've got the beanie. We've got the big pointed hat for the pope. We've got all those weird Monsignor hats and more. And you nuns, now, you don't have to go without either. We've got that cardboard weird thing you wear over your forehead. Yes, the cardboard hats of Southern California. Don't miss it.
What does that mean, don't miss it? What is it, a parade float?
Oh, you're right. No, it's. I guess they're there for a while. We need
something more. I guess they have a storefront?
Something. Yeah, they got a store. I don't know. Something more. What you said, I can't hear because you ain't so bad.
Lecrae and Nuttin'. That's a great song. You know, he mentions in that song Call a Foul in the Game, you know, because of all the stuff he's saying. And I remember back when we were in high school, we used to say, a friend of mine, Doug, used to say, man, I got to throw the flag on that, you know.
Well, What does that mean?
It's interesting how these things cycle back every now and again. We used to say, I'm throwing a flag. You know, if somebody said something stupid or somebody said something that we didn't believe or just anything, we'd say, man, I'm throwing a flag on that. 15-yard penalty for bullshit, basically, is what we'd say. And there is Lecrae now here in 2014 talking about calling a foul on the guy. I don't know.
Well, it might have some connection, Phil. What are you saying? You invented it?
No, I'm not saying I invented it. I'm saying these things cycle around every now and again. It might have been something from even before we were kids. I like that song. So,
you know, this is going to be very delicate.
I don't want to talk anything about the Ferguson thing, man, because I just don't. And one of the reasons why I don't want to is because people tend to talk about shit before they know what it is that they're talking about. You know?
Well, then why are you bringing up the fact that you were a shoplifting, as you said yourself, a shoplifting punk bit, you know?
Yeah, you pretty much said that, Phil.
I didn't say, I said I shoplifted as a kid. I did. I stole. I've never denied that.
Yeah, that's true, is that right?
I've never denied that. I've always said that I shoplifted as a kid. I always said that I was a thief. I did say that I stole because I was hungry. I stole food, and I stole cigarettes. I stole wine. I guess I was thirsty, too.
Yeah, and you needed a cigarette.
Right, and I needed a cigarette. I stole steak.
Did you sell it?
I didn't sell any of it. I ate it all, and I consumed it all. Steak, brownie mix.
Is that for marijuana?
No, I made the brownies and ate them. I stole bologna. I stole lunch meats, bread. And then I stole, like, cigarettes, I stole wine, I stole beer, I stole a lot of shit. And I taught my friends how to shoplift. Because we were all skinny kids. And in those days, to tell you how skinny I was, I could get a whole carton of cigarettes right down the front of my pants. I could get them down the front of my pants and under my shirt. And you wouldn't be able to tell. And I tried to teach a friend of mine how to do this, and he wound up getting arrested over here in Pasadena. He spent the night in jail for shoplifting. Now, the reason why I'm saying all this is because when I was doing all this stuff, I never once got arrested. I never once got talked to by a cop. I never once got hassled by the closest I ever came was I ran out of a store once with a bottle of wine under my shirt. And the owner or the manager of the store, apparently somebody saw him chasing me out of the store. I never saw him. I just dove into this car and off we went.
Now, what's the point? You're trying to bring a point up here about this kid in Ferguson.
Well, the kid that was shot in Ferguson was shot at the end of a big episode, a large confrontation that began, my understanding, with the theft of some cigarettes. And the point that I'm trying to make here is not only did I steal cigarettes and beer and wine, I never once talked to a cop about it. Now, you can say I was lucky. And there's a lot of things you can say, but I did it not once, not twice, not three times. I did it repeatedly over the course of a couple of years. Maybe I was really good at it. Who knows? But I'm just here to tell you that I'm being asked to believe, a lot of people are being asked to believe, that it's the luck of the draw that Phil Henry goes out as a 17-year-old kid and steals his ass off and never once is even talked to by a cop. Not one cop. And here's a kid that stole a pack of cigarettes. He's dead.
Well, now, Phil, I think what you're saying needs to be said. This has to do with the young man's, his race.
Oh, see? I knew you'd go there.
Didn't you talk? Listen to what Mr. Henry's saying?
Hold on. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm just telling you about, you guys just keep out of it, okay?
You know what he's talking about?
You're saying it's racial.
I think that's the only thing that separates Phil from that boy.
No, wait. I'm not going to draw any conclusions.
So you don't want us to even talk about it?
You can talk about it off the air. I ain't talking about it here. See, this is what we should be doing. Talk about it other than on the goddamn radio and the Facebook, all that stuff. Listen to me. I'm just asking the question. Now, there's going to be a lot of chump change, real dim-witted people that don't want to really turn this over in their heads too much. It's too difficult. I'm asking you why it is I shoplifted like a son of a bitch, and I never once. And I grew up in a town where the cops were, you know, the police department in Arcadia, California, is probably one of the top small town police departments in all of America. Look them up; they got their own force. This is not we're not talking about L.A. County Sheriff now.
Well, I was going to say, weren't there? You said to me that some of your friends lived in areas where there was L.A. Sheriff.
Yeah, they did. But they lived in unincorporated areas. I lived in a town that had a police department that was one of the best. The Arcadia Police, and of the small suburban Los Angeles Police Department, L.A. County Police Departments, Arcadia Police Department policed an area that had San Anita Racetrack and a lot of really rich homes and a lot of really middle-class and lower-middle-class homes all jammed together in this town. Arcadia pretty much ran the gamut. You had some pretty poor families living in the very same city with some very wealthy families. How do I know? Because I knew them both. And at one point, I was a member of both. You know, my dad made money. Then we lost it all. And, I was shoplifting food. All in this same little town. And there were kids that drank too much. There was street racing. There was all kinds of shit. There was drugs. I mean, God, by the late 60s, Arcadia Park was a place where people were selling drugs. They were shooting up. They were smoking weed. They were dealing acid. All kinds of things happening there. All of that going on in this town. Now, did we have a crime problem? Hell, I don't know. But I'll tell you this much. Phil Henry never once talked to a cop.
Well, I imagine there were police officers there that did talk to people.
Yeah, there were police officers there, and they did talk to people. Nobody ever got shot to death. I never heard of any kid in my school being shot to death by a cop. Being killed by a police officer. No high school kid. I heard one kid in my class got killed by way of a gun, and that was a homeowner that lived next door to a house where there was a party one night. He got out, went with his girlfriend, got into their car. He was leaving this party. Some guy came out of a house next door to the party and started giving everybody trouble, and I guess this guy gave him some lip back, and he shot him and killed him. And that's a homeowner with a gun. So as far as police violence in the city of Arcadia, where you might say, you know, oh, well, shoot, of course, the cop stopped the kid. He had cigarettes on him. The cop therefore then tried to arrest the kid, and something happened, and the kid resisted. Anybody, you know, is sort of looking at this thing from the police side might say that the kid resisted, tried to run away. The police officer had no choice but to pull his gun and shoot the kid. Over a pack of cigarettes, it's a pretty, that's some bad training, in my opinion. Unarmed kid? Unarmed. No gun? Of course, maybe the cop didn't know it at the time. Maybe he hadn't completed the frisk. Maybe he had not completed the pat-down of the kid. I don't know. But the fact is, I'm just telling you, I never once ran afoul of the police. No cop ever talked to me. And if you want to know what kind of a town I grew up in, look it up. Arcadia, California, a middle-class to upper-middle-class town, a town where you would think that the cops were highly valued, and where they were not a force to be seen and to be, you know.
All right, Phil, so you're giving your speech about the cops. What's the point? Are you trying to tell me that this cop in Ferguson, Jesus.
Phil said he didn't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it, you know.
Well, what are you doing? You're giving a speech then about how you think cops are bad or something.
I don't think that's it exactly, but I think Phil is pointing up.
No, you know something, sir?
Wait a minute, all you guys. All right, what's your opinion, General?
My opinion is this. That's the biggest load I've ever heard in my life. You're trying to tell me because you were shoplifting pork chops or...
He said he shoplifted steaks.
Well, what is it? You put a pork chop down your pants? Is that what it is?
What's your point here?
Jesus, did you hear that? He goes, what's your point here?
Yeah, I'm seeing your voice kind of...
Yeah, I know about my voice. Can we knock it off with point not... What is your point?
My point is... You stuck a pork chop in your pants, and you said a cop didn't go near it. I think that's pretty normal. I wouldn't. If I were...
I didn't put a pork chop in my pants. I put a carton of cigarettes, and I didn't put a... And no cop ever... I'm telling you, what I'm trying to say to you is, how come I didn't get arrested? How come I didn't get hassled? How come I didn't,
Well, maybe the cops in your town were smarter than this cop.
Maybe. Maybe they were. And maybe it just so happens, and maybe this is a coincidence, that kid's black, I'm white.
Well, I even as liberal as I am, Phil, I think, look.
All right, see, right there, Margaret's going to finally make a good point.
Wait, what do you mean, finally make a good point?
Hold on, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, when you were coming out of the supermarket or the store or wherever you were, and you were sticking things, you were putting things down the pant.
Not down a pant, the pants.
Down the pants, I'm sorry. You were...
Well, if he was putting it down one leg of a pant,
Are you guys serious?
All right, I'm sorry. God damn, look at me. Boy, you looked at me like you wanted to gut me like a fish.
Yeah, Miss Emma, what's wrong?
I want you guys to either open your mouths and say something sensible or shut up. Margaret?
Yes, sir. I'm saying, when the baloney went down the pant.
When the baloney went down a pant? Why do you say it like a reasonable human being?
Will you shut up, man?
I'm going to kick his ass.
Hey! Your hands off of me. I can sue you for assault with a deadly weapon.
What's the deadly weapon?
You.
Well, you...
Hey, come on, get off of him.
When you took the baloney and you shoved up your... wherever you shoved it, and you walked out the store, were there police officers anywhere?
No, there were no cops anywhere. There were no cops anywhere. Nobody saw me do it. Nobody called the cops. And that was that.
Well, there might have been police... What I'm trying to do is rule out the fact that there just might have been a cop there.
Well, I think what Phil's saying is it was more about the kid being black.
It might have been a high-crime area. Ferguson may be a much more high-crime area. But my point is something that is far more refined, or if you will. My point is subtler. Here I was in a city with lots of cops, at least with a police presence that was extremely effective. It was a safe city. It was a quality city. It was a desirable city. And I was stealing my ass off. Stealing. Robbing. You understand? And the worst thing that... let's go beyond the shoplifting. I was a kid that got into all kinds of stuff. And the worst thing that ever happened to me was getting pulled over by the cops because we were speeding. And they find beer or wine in the car. And in those days, a cop would sometimes let you go. They'd make you pour the stuff out in the gutter, and you were off and running. Okay? Now, you want me to say to you, well, it's just a coincidence that you were white, Phil. Let's just look at these two things as equal things. Well, I can't really do that. I see in this town of Ferguson, Missouri, or wherever the hell this goddamn crap can shithole is...
Well, that's a hell of a thing to say. The people in that city may be proud.
All right, fine. They're proud of their town. Wherever this place is, it's Ferguson, Missouri. I see a town that may say, well, you don't understand, Mr. Henry. We have a crime problem. Is that right? All right, you got a crime problem. I understand you have a crime problem. So that means what? You have lots of cops, right? Yes. Well, so did we. We didn't have a crime problem, but that's also because we had lots of cops. We didn't have a crime problem because the cops were on the job. The cops were on the beat. Well, it was socioeconomic. Oh, socioeconomic. We want to bring that into it now, do you? You want to bring in a socioeconomic thing. Okay, let's call it socioeconomic. Let's say that things are crappy, and they just happen to be black citizens in this town, huh? Just, that's got nothing to do with it, of course.
Well, what are you trying? Are you saying the socioeconomics have something to do with the black people? Boy, that's racist.
I'm saying that the black people have something to do with the socioeconomics. I'm saying that they're there because socioeconomically, it is a more depressed economic situation. You're going to find a lot of black people there. Fact is, there's a kid in that town did the exact same thing as me. He wound up getting gunned down, shot to death. The exact same thing as me. Stole some cigarettes.
Phil, you are going off on another one of your speeches, and there's going to be quite a few of your fans that are going to say that this is it. No, let me finish now.
Look, Margaret.
No, let me finish.
Let her finish.
There's going to be a lot of your fans saying, oh my God, there he goes again. Talking all of, as Bud would say, or this one over here, Robert, talking all of that, what do you call it? The smick?
No, the smick.
Talking a lot of crap is what it is. That's what you guys think, right?
Well, I'm saying, I mean, you can say all you want about how you shoplifted, no cop gonna pull you over.
If a cop would have seen me, you know.
Are you saying if a cop saw you shoplifting, if you saw a cop sticking a pork chop down your pants, all right?
If I saw a cop, what?
I mean,
would you get it straight?
I'm saying, if a cop, never mind.
No, he's saying if the cop saw you put the pork in the slack, then what?
What is it with you guys? Are you mental or something? Put the pork in the slack. You're saying if a cop saw me stick a steak down my pants?
If a cop saw you stick a steak down your pants, I would hope he'd have the good sense and the class to ignore it and just move on with his...
Why?
Oh my God, you have to ask why?
Could be child molestation.
You really? Why would that be child molestation?
Yeah, no, you know what? You blew it, Robert.
Yeah, you stepped...
Whoa, okay.
child molestation. If I took a steak, if I was stealing something, is what I'm saying, and the cop saw me, yeah, he would have done something about it. But no cop ever saw me. Now the cop saw this kid. Why did the cop see that kid? Maybe because there's a very high incidence of theft in that town. Does that mean that that young man was stealing that town blind? Or does it mean that that young man was stealing something in a town where a lot of people were stealing the town blind? I think personally the latter. I think this is a young man that by all accounts was a decent kid, a good student, etc. Stealing some cigarettes, maybe, I don't know. But the cop saw it because the cop was on alert to that kind of thing. In a town where that kind of thing happens. In a town that has a lot of black citizens. In a town of black people that may be economically, you know, economically deprived or economically, you know, disadvantaged or something. So I don't get pulled over by a cop because in my town, there isn't a lot of crime. Because the cops don't think that there's going to be a lot of crime going on because they haven't heard of a lot of crime going on. So some kid walking out of a store who's just stolen that place blind, no cop is going to approach me.
Yeah, but you see, you think this has something to do with race.
It does have something to do with race, man, when you're talking about the total situation in that town. Black people, crime, socioeconomically disadvantaged, this, that, and out of all of that bullshit is an innocent young man, not innocent, but a kid who stole a pack of cigarettes, walking out of a store, and this cop, on hyper alert, pulls his gun, and you got a dead kid. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Not really.
It's a little tough.
All right, forget it then, okay?
Yeah, but you can't go out there all being all disadvantaged economically and everything.
What?
I mean, you're going off like you're, you know.
Yeah, you're going off all being economically disadvantaged.
What do you mean I'm going off economically disadvantaged?
They're trying to say that you're going off in a huff with your feelings hurt.
Yes, you're economically disadvantaged in terms of your emotions, Phil. That's all they're saying.
Would you get... We got Jay Santos on the phone.
Well, do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't, and I want to talk to Jay Santos now.
Excuse me for just... You don't understand what I'm saying. You're going to blow it off, and you're going to talk to this guy, Jay Santos.
I'm not just a guy, Mr. Gray. It's Jay Santos. Yeah.
I know who you are, Jay. Are you blowing me off, yes or no?
Well, you got to be clean about it.
I'm being clean. Hey! Clean about
it. Watch it.
Jay, why don't you two take a walk, okay?
Yeah, take a walk, bud.
No, you take a walk.
Now go peddle your papers.
Both of you. How you doing, Jay?
Oh, my God. Both of you.
Here we go get something to drink.
Don't you touch that coffee.
How you doing, Jay?
Yeah, Phil, I'm doing good. I'm just waiting to see what's going on down here. How are you today?
I'm doing real good, man. Just back from Canada. I had a vacation, and in the middle of this bullshit, I'm really sorry that I even brought it up.
It's a very difficult situation when you talk about a young kid. And, of course, I do understand, Mr. Henry. I don't want... God.
Well, Jay, let's just keep this to Phil and his wayward youth. Now, you just heard him say that he is...
I'll say it. I was talking about my youth, stealing cigarettes and stuff.
You do have a high incidence of that, especially here in the South Bay, where we, Citizens Auxiliary Police, does do a great deal of patrolling, Mr. Henry. And we do see an awful lot of our youth that will go into a store, or into a place, a business, come what may. And they're going to go in there, and they're going to be up there good. They're going to do the thing what a little kid does. Now, this is summertime. And, of course, we do know, and I've got Subcommander Gleason is with me. Subcommander Gleason has a statistic. Let me just look at these for a minute, Subcommander Gleason.
Yeah, right over there, there's the number right there.
We have an incident last week where we stopped, we detained, and queried. It's not an interrogation, it's a query. Individuals as to their whereabouts and what they were doing when we seen them come out of a store, and they said, well, we were shopping in the store, and I said, well, okay, so you say, these are all teenagers, and we asked them, do you have anything shoved, in the pan? Because this is a very, very common thing.
Most kids are going to do that.
Hey, we have a Subcommander Gleason. How many percentage of the kids that we stop are going to have some shoplifted item stuffed up the pan?
Probably a few of them.
He just said a few of them, which that's not really adequate. I want a number, you know?
Yeah.
I want a number, Subcommander Gleason. Go back there and I want you to collate those facts. Get out of here. Go on. Get out. Go pile your paper.
And I just got done saying that, Jay, and everybody looked at me like I was some kind of a freak.
It's an old term. But I don't like to use it.
All right, so your sub-commander Gleason's doing what? He's
collating some of the numbers. We're going to have those. But what we do find, Phil, is the teenager, the young person who goes into a store, they want to find a cigarette, they want to get themselves a box of bologna mix or whatever you have.
Excuse me, I'm just back from the kitchen. I want in on this.
Margaret, I asked you guys to take a walk.
I don't care what you asked. I want in on this.
It's okay, Phil. We all know.
What is bologna mix?
Well, that's isn't that the mix?
If I said bologna mix, I misspoke. I meant to say, bologna mix.
Bologna mix?
Well, about it.
Well, what is, I'm asking the same question Margaret's asking. What is that?
You said you shoplifted bologna mix.
No, I shoplifted brownie mix.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. Bologna mix would theoretically be a mix where you mix up, you got bologna.
Well, that's about as goofy as it gets. You're not going to find any... If there was such a thing, Christ, I wouldn't stop buying that. Obviously, I think everyone would, but there isn't such a thing, and so there's no point in us sitting here and jawjacking something that doesn't exist. It's my intention to deal only in the fact...
All right, General, thank you. What do you mean you wouldn't stop buying it?
Yes, that's a very strange statement.
I said if there was such a thing as... Oh, my God, are you telling me you wouldn't buy I'd buy the store. I would buy stock in it.
Bologna mix? Who cares about bologna mix? It's bologna.
Listen to him. It's bologna. Bologna mix.
Admittedly, General, there's an argument that can be made that bologna mix would be very famous. Or not famous, but it would be very popular. But, as to whether or not people would buy stock in it.
I'm telling you right now, and you can say what you want, Santos. If bologna mix existed, I'd be all over that like a bad stink.
Yeah, probably pretty sure about it, too.
All right, fine. Bologna mix would be a fantastic product. Yes, I know I just said fantastic.
Thank you. You don't have to point it out, Robert.
All right.
Okay, so we're all settled there?
Yes, Phil. Don't keep beating it into the ground.
Fine. So anyway, bologna mix would be a great product. However, he didn't say bologna mix. I didn't say bologna mix. What did you find on these kids?
Well, what we found, a lot of kids are going to shoplift, for instance. A kid is going to shoplift, I don't know, cigarette. A kid's going to shoplift, for instance. And what I do with these kids is if I find them having been in what we call in possession of a suspicion of it, and that's when you see a group of kids come wheeling out. They come wheeling out of the store, and they look for all the world like it doesn't stink. You know, they think they're all hot stuff. When a kid comes wheeling out of a store like that, you figure he might be, holding something. Maybe he's got bologna, or not bologna. Maybe he's got brownie mix. Maybe he's got a steak in a pan. Maybe he has a cigarette in a pan. And that's when we will stop the kid, and I'll say, Citizens Auxiliary Police, we do not have official police power, but we do have power of a citizen's arrest of the Constitution. And I'll slap my hands together, and I say, okay, I'll give you this chance. Come at me. I'm going to do a judo throw on you. You know what I'm saying, Mr. Henry?
Whoa. Hold on for a minute.
What are you talking about? Santos, you're doing a judo hold on what?
Yeah, I'll say to the kid.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. You slap your hands together and say, come at me.
What I'm saying to the kid is we do suspect you of possibly have a shoplifted and shoved up the pant bologna mix.
Will you knock it off with bologna mix?
I'm sorry. I mean brownie mix.
God, Phil, take it easy.
Sick and tired of hearing that.
But the general said it. Should there be a need for bologna mix?
Forget the bologna mix, man. There's no need for bologna mix. Now I got to take a break.
I think you should, Mr. Ernie.
You sound like you're wound up tight as a drum.
Not wound up tight as a drum. I stop the kid and ask him, have you ripped off bologna mix? Hey. All right, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back after this from Woven War. This is The Mason. This is The Phil Henry Show. Great to be back in the, if you'll pardon the expression, in the saddle.
Well, that would be worse if a woman said that, so... I'm Margaret Gray. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
The world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico, live. And I
Veterans Reconciliation Center. Two locations, Monrovia and Temple City. Bring in all of your old appliances, old machine parts, old clothing. Markham's Reconciliation Center will get it turned around and back in your hands within 48 hours, or something bad's gonna happen. Markham's Reconciliation Center has been in business since 1941, reconciling and refurbishing all of your old articles of clothing, machinery, and old furniture. Markham's Reconciliation Center, remember, we'll turn it around in 48 hours or something bad's gonna happen. Markham's Reconciliation Center, Monrovia, Temple City, and the new store in La Habra. Markham Reconciliation Center. Oh, God, something bad's happening because I forgot to get turned around. I was doing a commercial.
Jesus, hey, we're as hard up for the advertiser.
I'll do it. We're as hard up for advertiser. No.
I'll do it. We're as hard up for advertiser as you're ever going to get.
All right. Woven War and the Mason. They're singing about the Masonic Order, and he's singing about, like, his dad was a Mason or something, you know.
What? What are you saying?
All right, anyway, that's Woven War. World-famous Phil Henry Show, Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police with us, talking about the young people, summertime, shoplifting, certainly all of those factors factoring in to a major news story across the country this morning, and that's it's a very tragic situation, you know?
It's very tragic, Phil, and I don't feel qualified, really, to comment on it. I'm simply commenting on... I do come from Baltimore, and I have a... I'm simply commenting on... Well...
You're commenting on...
Yeah, I'm commenting on what we encounter here in the South Bay when we see a punk kid come rolling out of a store like he's all this and a bag of chips. And I have often said to myself, something, at least you know I've said this.
You can talk about it's better to be safe than sorry.
Right, I always say it's better to be safe. Try not to talk too much because you do so. It's better to be safe than sorry.
I want to get back to this idea of when the kids come out of the store and you clap your hands.
Right, when a kid comes out of the store, come wheeling out. Now, let's say it's me and Subcommander Gleason on patrol. I walk up, I'm wearing my pith helmet, Bermuda shorts, wingtip shoes, and black socks, and I'm wearing my Citizens Auxiliary Police shirt and the blue armband, and we've just pulled up in one of our vans with a metal magnet sign on the side that says Citizens Auxiliary Police on patrol. Okay, we're here to save lives. We'll have that in quotes. Like how it says to protect and serve on a regular police car. On ours, it says, we're here to save lives.
We're here to save lives.
No. We're here to save lives.
We're here to save lives.
Right.
We're here to save... Is there a comma?
Oh, who cares, Mr. Henry? Come on to this guy.
Yeah, Phil, don't get hung up. Is there a comma?
This guy, what do I look like, Glamour King? You remember when there was Sky King? Guy riding in an airplane in the sky, Mr. Henry? Mr. Henry?
Yes. What about it?
Fuck it. So anyway,
And watch your language on my show, if you don't mind, Jay.
You say it all the time.
Well, I'm telling you to watch it.
Anyway, so we approached three youths who were wheeling out of Weberman's department store. It's over here in Torrance, okay? You happy?
Hey, Jay, don't piss me off. Just finish your report.
So these three kids are coming out of the store, out of Weberton's department store, and we had approached them. I had exited the vehicle on the left side as Subcommander Gleason exited the vehicle on the right side. Subcommander Gleason will pick up the description here. Go ahead.
I was saying, what we done then, I come out of the side, and I go walking over there, and I said to them, we're the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we want to know if you shoplifted no steak, or did you stick anything in your pants? And the kid said to me, a very dismissive, ha, 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 you look like a fairy with your pith helmet. Let me have the phone back. The kids are always saying that about us. You know, you look like a fairy. All through. That's one of the things about being a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police, Mr. I get no respect at all. Okay, go ahead. So anyway, the kids, they get your phone back. And I just want to say one other thing. We consider that to be homophobic, too, right here. Now, the kids is saying all this stuff. So I clap my hands, and I motion the kid to come at me, and I said, if you let me judo throw, I'll judo throw you,
and then you can be on your way, or we're going to frisk you. So
you clap your hands and you wave the kid forward?
And I wave him forward, and then the kid approached, and I did a over the knee. I grabbed the kid, and I basically just tripped him, which is technically, give me the phone. That's technically, Mr. Henry, that's technically a judo hold. You know about that?
A what?
A judo throw.
Well, yeah, but you've got to use, there's a little bit more skill involved than just tripping a guy, okay?
But all you do is you wave the guy forward, and you go, you see that? You point over to your left like you're pointing at a nude lady. You go, look, a nude lady. And the kid will go that way, and you just trip him. That's a judo hold. See, a lot of people make a big deal out of it.
That's not a judo hold, but okay, so you trip the kid.
Yes, it is a judo hold, and I'm not going to go forward.
Okay, it's a judo hold.
See, we told you. Yeah, we told you.
Okay, you told me. So it's a judo hold. You trip the kid. Now he's free to go on his way.
Well, now I'm beginning to think maybe I should. Maybe I work on a bigger... Are you trying to tell me it's not?
Jay, I'm not going to get into a discussion of your police tactics, all right?
Look, DeSantos, you talked us, you browbeat us into believing it's a judo hold or a judo throw, whatever you call it. So once you trip the kid...
Right, well, look, I'm just telling you, General, you're an Army guy, and I seen this on a documentary about a World War or something where they showed some old guy's about 80 years old. He clapped his hands and he told the guy to come toward him, and he flipped the guy.
That's that guy. I saw that. That guy flipped the guy. That's an actual judo toss. That guy didn't, or a judo throw. That guy didn't trip somebody.
Well, so, you know, say what you want, but I guess the same kind of respect. I clapped my hands. I said, come at me. And the kid's all, what are you, gay or something? I go, okay, guess what? Now you're going to get frisked.
Now, what is your constitutional right in frisking people?
What I say is basically this. You didn't come at me, so now I believe that you might have shoplifted. We could go inside and talk to the store owner, or you can let me check to see if you put steak in your pants. And I say to them, I want you to know about this, Mr. Eric. Make sure you're clear on this. I'm going to be clear. I say to them, I suspect that you put a steak or a pork chop down your pants. Or your pant leg, I should say. I'm going to need to go in there and feel around.
Oh, you... No way.
Are you kidding me? If that was my son, I'd find you, Santos. I'd hunt you down like the animal you are, and I'd leave you where I found you. I can assure you.
Ms. Gray, I'm trying to do the job to save a life that...
No, Santos. I concur with what Ms. Gray... Excuse me. You've got me so goddamn you to hell and back.
Yeah, General, you okay?
Get the General some water, will you?
Is the old man going to be... I'll tell you something right now, General. I'll tell you right now, man. You try to move on me, I'll send you hell on a shutter.
Oh, yeah, bullshit.
Hold on for a minute now. You threatening people?
Well, these people threaten me. Trying to tell me I don't have the right.
You were talking about going into some kid's pant and feeling around. I think we know what you're talking about.
Are you trying to say I'm some kind of a perv? Get all that? That's what I was afraid of. That's why we're done. I didn't want to do it. Oh, shut up. Yes, you did. Get your eyes lit up. Your eyes lit up like it was a slot machine when I said go into that kid's pant and feel around. Oh, my God. No, it did not.
All right, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is going to get you in some serious trouble here, Jay. Are you telling me that you're telling your sub-commander and you're telling yourself...
Wait. Am I telling you that I'm telling him and telling myself? How many people am I talking to here? I'm saying to him, I'm giving the kid a choice. I'm saying, I may need to go and feel around in a pant leg. And if the kid says no, and he also said no to me giving him a judo throw, then I send the kid away with a warning that if I ever see him anywhere around here, well...
Yeah, you don't have no power.
That's power enough. We've had so many court decisions and so many ran afoul of Torrance police. That's the only thing. We do tell the kid to go back in the store.
Well, wait, but that's hassle enough. So you don't have any enforcement power. That's what I was trying to tell you.
What? It sounded like you went, that's what I was trying to tell you.
I did. I gagged up a little bit talking to you. I think the smell's coming through the phone. There, how does that feel?
All right, here. What about that?
Oh, so you think you're real smart ass, huh?
Yeah, I do, Jay. As a matter of fact, I do. I'm asking you, you realize that you don't have any enforcement power, so you let the kid go.
I let the kid go with a warning. Look, let me tell you something. When I clap my hands and wave the kid forward and say, okay, come at me, and the kid goes ahead and makes the move, and I throw him with the judo throw and everything like that, that kid has, he just got, you know, the what for. if the kid says, no, I ain't coming at you, that's when I say, all right, sit down. I'm a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police. I suspect you of having had shoplifted out of that store. That's what I suspect. Will you or will you not allow me to go into your pant leg to feel if there's a pork chop in there?
Are you serious? Do you really say that?
Yeah. Okay, I admit it doesn't sound all that great. Anyway, I told Brigadier Admiral Santos, you know, that I'm doing the interview here, okay, Gleason?
Wait. I want to talk to Sub-Commander Gleason.
No. It is the order of rank. It's the order of command. I'm in command. You're a subservient. What do you want to know?
I just heard that officer, that sub-commander, whatever you call him, say that he had questions as to whether he should say to a kid, I'm going to go into your pant leg looking for a pork chop.
God damn you if you're laughing at me.
Yeah, I am laughing at you.
Yes, I have said to the kid, I'll say to the kid, now, Gleason, did I say put your hands down there? The kid says, yeah. Then you have been given permission to go down in the pant leg.
No, you haven't, because that's an underage kid.
What?
That's an underage kid. That kid can't really give consent legally to have his person searched. That is something that is the prerogative of the parent involved, the guardian involved, an adult involved. You can't just go searching some kid. Well, maybe you can. I don't know, but you're not a cop. Maybe cops can.
Uh-huh. So you're saying, because, see, that's where it gets in there. But I give them a choice, and I'll say, will you or will you not allow me to search the pant leg?
What is this stuff about going there looking for a pork chop?
Because I'm suspecting that the kids are going, God damn, man. I bet they're going to make it kind of tough.
I'm standing up for you, Gleason.
I know, but, you know, you're humiliating. That's all they ever do, Gleason. They put me on the show and humiliate me. Anyway, I believe in Brigadier General, Brigadier, you call me Brigadier General? All right, get out of here. Go on. Go on outside and water the lawn or something. Go on. Pick up that trash in the driveway. Oh, fuck. And, now you're going to be picking up trash tomorrow because you said fuck. So, Mr. Henry, I'm sure you understand that the Citizens Auxiliary Police, in conjunction, with the other law enforcement in this area, try to do our boogie best. That's what we say. We try to do our boogie best to do the very best that we can with what we got. And I think it's bad to second guess us and say, well, we're not doing a good job here, not doing a good job there, not goo-goo-goo-goo-goo. I'm sorry. We're not doing a good job here, not doing a good job there, and make fun of us when all we're trying to do is the best that we can. You know what I mean? So, I'm
you know what I'm doing here right now, Jay, because I want to give you respect, is I'm looking for your theme song so that you guys can go out on a high note, okay? Because you're always telling me that you don't get respect and you never have your theme music the way you want it. So I'm trying to find your GD theme music, and I can't find this theme music to save my ass. Whoever put this... Anyway, it is the Highway Patrol theme. Is that what it is? Highway to Hell. I got Highway to Hell. I don't have the Highway Patrol theme. God, I want to just scream. I don't know where it went. I'm sorry.
So I come on your program? God damn, man.
Well, hold the line, and we'll try and find it here after the break.
Well, you know something? You keep him on too long. He doesn't know what he wants to say. He's a blithering idiot.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, that guy Santos, if I ever see that guy in the flesh right here in studio... I'm telling you, Phil, I don't go, oh, baby.
You don't know what you'll do.
That's right.
World famous Phil Hendry should be right back after these messages. I'm Phil Hendry.
Then the world famous Phil Hendry show live from the El Pacifico here Monday, back from Canada.
And I'm Margaret Gray. Are you interested in traveling to South Korea? I am. I hear it's a lot of laughs. I can't get together enough people now to make it worth my while. But if you're interested in a South Korean tour, whereby I would be getting most of the economic break, well, forget it. I don't think I'm...
You gotta make it so everybody is...
I don't want to work that hard. I'm calling Kristen Brewster. We're going to do our Korea tour if we can make it worth Margaret Gray's while. I'm Margaret Gray. Thank you, Colleen. Thank you. I'll take it from here.
nigga tired of this bullshit.
Yeah.
Got a full-time job, but a nigga still can't afford shit.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in the strip club, ain't throwing all this dough.
This dope.
But when I leave here, I ain't gonna have no more. Front for these fake niggas, need a diamond chain to be great, nigga. I got one, but I ain't great, nigga. What it takes,
oh, yeah.
For the rap game to notice me,
oh, yeah.
I topped the charts for 9 weeks, but they still ain't notice me. I guess I gotta ride me a nigga, guess I gotta kill me a nigga, guess I gotta get up on a block, sell rocks to a nigga, guess I gotta slide me a nigga, but that ain't me.
All right, there is Kirkle Bangs and Rich.
I like this song, although I don't like the N-word, and actually, I don't like the song.
What is this kid singing about?
It's a great song. It's called, what do you mean, what's it singing? You can hear what he's singing about.
Yeah, he wants to be rich.
Yeah, but he's kidding around, man.
Is he kidding around, or is he, I don't think he's kidding around. I think he's kidding around, but he is singing about himself. Talked about topping the charts for 9 weeks, and nobody's noticing him.
What are you nincom skulls working toward here?
All right, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Thank you, Jay, for being a part of the show. We will talk to you, Jay, later on in the future. And here's Jay's theme music, which we had to take a whole break to find.
Are you kidding? This is the worst kind of production. God damn it.
Whenever the laws are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action.
I want to be rich.
It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers.
Or the citizens auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
I want to be rich, tired of sitting on the floor.
I'ma shine on these hoe ass niggas like all day.
All day.
I'ma fuck any girl I want. Drive every car you
word. Get out of here with this song. This song is my kind of music right here.
That is a vulgar song. It uses the N-word. It talks about molesting women. Vulgar, vile, disgusting, and sick.
My kind of music.
All right. Kirkle Bangs. We like that. That's our pick to click here on the Phil Henry Show this week. So anyway, what we didn't cover. All right, so yeah, Canada, great time. Let's see what I want to mention here. We flew on Air Canada, and the reason why we flew Air Canada is because it was nonstop to Toronto, you know.
Now you're talking about nonstop, Mr. Henry, doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell Bud that.
That nonstop doesn't mean nonstop.
Yes, it means nonstop.
Well, I mean, it means that you don't have to wait a long time.
Dickman, have you ever flown a nonstop flight? I'll bet you have. And yet you don't even know what it is, do you?
Well, when have you flown anywhere, Bud?
I don't know. I know I have, but I'm not sure what I was on.
What does that mean?
It means I went to New York one time, and it only took a few hours.
Uh-huh. And you don't know that you flew? Did you look out the window?
No, I was asleep.
I can guarantee you if you went from L.A. to New York in a few hours, you were flying.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure.
What a jackass, man. Seriously.
Why do you have to resort to name-calling, Mr. Henry?
Well, that is a good point, Phil.
Because he's an idiot. If you go from L.A. to New York in a few hours, you didn't look out the window because you fell asleep, you get off the plane, now you're... Did you go get your bags?
No.
No. You had a bag?
No.
You had no carry-on, no nothing?
Uh-uh.
You just walked off the plane.
I don't know if it was a plane.
I'm guaranteeing you it was a plane. You walked off. Then where did you go?
Went to a car.
Did you drive the car or did somebody else drive the car?
I drew it.
You drew it?
I mean, I drove it.
You drove it. All right. That means that if you drove the car, you left the car there. So you flew not just one way. You flew two ways.
Well, I went to New York. I came back.
And you still don't know whether you flew or not.
You know what, Dickman? You're a lying sack of garbage, and for 5 cents, I'd take you to the landfill myself. God damn it.
It's easy. Take it easy, General.
No, don't tell me to take it easy.
All right. I don't know, Bud. Like I said, CAT scan's in the future for you.
I didn't do anything wrong to have my head x-rayed.
Yeah, you did, man. You don't even know whether you flew the plane or not.
What do you mean, flew the plane?
And what do you do, Robert? Do you travel?
No, I don't leave L.A.
Now, that's a good idea. That's probably a really good idea for either one of you clowns. Don't even leave town.
Spacewalking astronauts release a baby satellite, bud, not a baby.
Yeah, see, I was trying to explain that to him.
Yeah, not a baby. It was a baby satellite. Spacewalking astronauts launched a tiny Peruvian research satellite Monday, setting it loose on a mission to observe Earth. Russian Oleg Artemyev cast the 4-inch box off with his gloved right hand as the International Space Station sailed 260 miles above the cloud-flecked planet. The nanosatellite gently tumbled as it cleared the vicinity of the orbiting complex precisely as planned. 1, 2, 3, someone called out in Russian as Artemyev let go of the satellite. It's only four. It's a 4-inch in radius box, huh?
Well, that there's a baby satellite, all right.
What is it supposed to do?
It was a satellite launched to observe Earth, and it was from the Peruvian people, the Peruvian science administration. So what we have here now, folks, is essentially the United States and Russia and Europe, I believe. And I think probably the Japanese and the Chinese are now in the mix, launching these vehicles on behalf of either themselves or other countries. And obviously there is a price paid, and the next thing you know, you've got satellites. Are we going to reach a point where there's just too much crap up there?
Well, a lot of people are talking about that, all the space junk, space debris. Will these things? And I believe that that is really what the point of the film Gravity was about, where you have an astronaut in outer space, and she's flying around out there doing whatever she does, and the next thing you know, she's doesn't know where she is, you know?
Yeah, there's more to it than that.
Yeah, well, the movie, you're talking about Gravity?
Wait. The movie Gravity was about an American... Like an American, what do you call it?
What do you mean, what do you call it?
Space shuttle, right?
I don't know. It was all I know is that the young lady, what's her name, Sandra Bullock, she's out there flying around. She doesn't know where she is.
No, but they got hit by space debris from a Russian satellite that blew up or some crap. I don't know how it goes.
See, that's just it. Everyone knows that movie. But we don't give a sweet JC. You know, I could give a good goddamn. I just like Sandra Bullock flying around and acting like a jackball, that's all.
Yeah, that's the best part of that movie.
The best part of the movie was what?
Just her flying around in space and stuff.
Yeah, but don't you guys know what happened?
Not really. I don't think too many people do.
What happened was, I'll tell you what happened.
All right, go ahead, tell us. Because I'll bet you money. I've got money that says you don't even know why. They're flying around out there in outer space like a couple of dickweeds. Excuse my language.
What do you mean, they?
Well, there was also George Clooney was out there.
No, he wasn't, because he got killed. Remember? He got,
No, he didn't.
No, he was inside the spaceship for a period.
She was hallucinating that. See, that's what I'm saying. Or actually, that's what you guys are saying.
There you go. Nobody understands.
I understand. They're out there, they're repairing the space shuttle, or they're repairing something. I'm not sure what it was. Maybe another satellite. And they got word that there was a satellite that collided or something.
Right there. See, you already, you're lost.
Yeah, Phil, you're what you call lost in space.
Hey!
Thank you.
Very nice. Something happened, a collision, where the Russian satellite broke apart, and the debris from that satellite had a domino effect. It started to hit other satellites, and suddenly there was this debris belt that was flying around the Earth on its way to the space shuttle and the vehicle that it was, or the orbiting satellite that it was repairing, and that debris hit their shuttle and hit their satellite, and it also killed one of the astronauts, because there were three.
There was another astronaut.
What other astronaut are you talking about?
There was a third astronaut.
Oh, the one whose face, yeah, there was no, the face was missing.
I don't recall a third astronaut.
There was another astronaut. And yes, his face was missing, the poor guy. No, it wasn't. It was something wrong. It wasn't good. So,
he got blowed, the head got blowed up.
Yeah, the head got blowed up.
I mean blew up.
All right. So now they're in space, and everything's blown to hell, and they got to find their way to some other space station. Yeah, I know what it is. They're finding their way to the Chinese space station.
Boy, listen to you. You're guessing all of this.
I am not guessing it. Watch the movie again.
Yeah, Mr. Henry's right. They've had to find a way to the Chinaman station.
Will you knock it off with the Chinaman stuff? The Chinese space station.
Yeah, it's the Chinese space station, but he didn't make it.
I don't know who made what, man. I mean, I think she got inside the Chinese space station. Yeah, she got inside of it. And then she hallucinated that he was there because she was losing her oxygen or something, right? Wasn't she? She was all flipped out and freaked out, man. I think that she hadn't scrubbed the carbon whatever the hell out of it, you know?
What?
What are you talking about?
I'm going to kick ass here in a minute if you guys don't. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And then she jettisoned onto Earth, and it was a bunch of other shit. Forget it. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, of course, is presented here each and every morning on the Sideshow Network. Very good of you guys to be with us.
Is that it? Wait, the show's over?
Pretty much. That just took it all out of me.
Well, Phil, in the future, you should know what's going on. If you're going to be talking about some of these things, know what's going on. That is my advice to you.
I know what's going on. You guys don't know what's going on in that movie. I just got done telling you guys that I was going to explain it, and I did explain it. You don't remember any of that.
I don't remember this bull. What is this bull crap about how she was hallucinating or some other jazz?
She was. When you thought that George Clooney was inside that freaking thing, he wasn't inside. He wasn't inside jack squat, man. Clooney was out. He was dead. And she was hallucinating that that guy was there. Do you understand? That's the big difference. God damn. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. See you guys tomorrow morning at 8:30 for our pre-show with our BSPs, at 9 o'clock for our regular show. And don't forget, on September the 11th is our one-man show. That's the Phil Henry Show at the Irvine Improv. At September the 11th, tickets available for our third one-man show in a big, big venue. So there's a lot of seats for a lot of you guys that were shut out of the first two shows. It's the Irvine Improv, September the 11th. The world-famous Phil Henry one-man show. The world of Phil Henry. Truth is our bitch.
Real fucking the world famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry. For Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on the Sideshow Network. Faded, my nigga, I'm
faded, faded. And don't forget, you can get yourself a CD and 2 months of the Phil Henry. What is this promotion? I don't even understand it.
Why don't you look it up, man? The world famous Phil Henry Show, and I think it's a CD and 2 months of VSP. Fuck is up, nigga, stumping in my chucks. Yeah, I make it rain, dear, cause I'm all about my bucks. Use a butt, I'm in the front, dick up in her cunt, and I put it in her hole, hold it one putt. Super make nasty. Why you make loving when the bitch come? Man, we ain't even doing that promotion anymore.
Well, I thought we were.
Had
me. Treated like a dog. Yeah. Caught a bitch Lassie. Young savvy. Banger like Cincinnati. Above average. Fly like I'm Aladdin. They bend backwards. Throw the pussy at them. I'm Ben Wallace. Dunk up in your basket. Balls in the air. No games. I'm serious. Double dare. It's too many bitches. Why these niggas wanna stir? Pat Ron up in here, nigga. This ain't no beer. I'm faded. Faded, yeah. Faded, my nigga, I'm faded. Faded, 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 and I don't give a fuck. Mama, there go that monster. Abracadabra, magic. My motherfucking doctor said I need a doctor, so I called house. Now I am a pill popper, faded like Skinnies. Young money, we winning. I told her if I change, she won't get a penny. Milking this shit, pregnant bitch titties, bringing home the bacon. I'm fucking Miss Piggy, loaded like a semi. Send me naked pictures. She knows my dick. She call that nigga Richard. Prior to me coming, I had to stick my thumb in her ass one time. Smell my finger, make you vomit. Flyer than the Hornet. The shoe fit, I worn it. She tried to jack me off, can't beat it. Join it, Tunchi, coochie. That what she call it. Flag, scarlet. I killed it, marn it. Faded, faded, faded. My nigga, I'm faded, faded. Yeah. My nigga, I'm faded, faded, faded. My nigga, I'm faded, faded,
young
faded.
Mula,
my nigga, I'm faded, faded, faded. My nigga, I'm faded, faded, faded. My nigga, I'm faded, faded, faded. My nigga, I'm faded, faded. And I don't give a fuck.